The Lord be with you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who healed the Canaanite woman's daughter. Amen. The question I want you to consider today is, what is childhood anyway? What is childhood? What does it mean to be a child? It may seem like a simple question. School is starting this week. Surely there's more profound questions in the universe that we could be considering this morning than, what's a child? What does it mean to be a child? Maybe we should just stay home and watch the Discovery Channel. Or maybe it's an important question. It is an important question if you consider the text we heard today from Matthew 15, 21 to 28, the faith of the Canaanite woman and Jesus. Jesus says in the text, it's not right to take the bread, the children's bread, and give it to the dogs. So what does it mean to be a child? Children's bread. Knowing the answer can make the difference between you yourself being a child of God, and you thinking that you're a child of God, but not. Which one are you? To find out, let me ask another question. When you stand before God, do you expect to be fed because you are a child of God? And by golly, God came into the world for my kind of people? Or when you stand before God, are you hungry? Are you willing to beg for crumbs like a dog? Because you realize just how spiritually poor and powerless you are and unworthy to be in God's house and to sit and to receive from His table. Maybe I should back up. Do we even come to the table? Do we even come to the table? Dogs do, but without fail. They're there. They're hungry. They'll take what they can get. And children, when they're young, they come to the table because they're hungry too, and they're told to come. Faith of a child. Mom makes supper. She calls the family to dinner. Dad sits down to lead them in prayer. They eat. They're a family. Life together. Meals together. Talking. Reflecting. Life together. And then honoring their Maker and giving Him thanks for the bread. Leaving the TV off. When children come together and they get a little older, then families don't come together for food so often anymore. Life gets in the way, doesn't it? Supper time is often a trip through the drive-thru, on our way to sports or drama practice, and typically an argument about who wasn't ready on time or who didn't pick up who when they were supposed to. Half the children are texting friends rather than talking with the family. Honoring and thanking God? Well, we did enough of that when we were younger. We're busier now. Besides, it's a little embarrassing to be praying at Hardee's. That's one reason why it's just easier to use the drive-thru. It's anonymous. Just hand back the fat and the salt to the passengers in the car. No one will be offended by your prayer or your lack of it. Well, who prays in the car anyway? There's people behind you in the drive-thru, so you can't just stop and pray there. You have to move on. Then you've got to watch the road. And by the time it would be safe to stop and pull off and pray, your family is halfway done eating, so it's better just to conveniently forget. Maybe next time. God forgives. Oh, well. After all, we're His children, right? We were born into this faith, baptized right into heaven. If God is for us, who can be against us? In the epistle today, those sweet words, the gifts of God are irrevocable. Relax. We've got it made. Eat, drink, and be merry. Drive on to the drive-thru. Busy, busy, busy. Is that what it means to be a true child of God? An overarching sense of confidence that A, hey, we've got God's law. B, we were born into the church. And C, we prayed when we were younger. Good enough. On with life. Or does being a child of God mean that you're someone who says something similar to the faith of the Canaanite woman today? Everything about me and my broken life and my circumstances makes me not a child of God. Someone who is not worthy to stand in the house or sit at the table and eat. Someone who, when they pray, prays not, God, you have to. I'm your child. I've done things for you. But prays, Lord, help me. I've got no pure bloodline to point to. I'm a child of sinful Adam and Eve. I'm a Canaanite. By nature, I'm an enemy of God and His people. And here's how the Canaanite woman prayed. She said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy. Have mercy. So Jesus tested the woman's faith, didn't He? He says, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And the woman replied, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. You know what Martin Luther said about this woman? He said that this woman had Jesus by the throat. She looked past His apparent no, because according to the law, the answer was no. He came for the children of Israel. That's who He gives the bread to, the children of Israel. According to the law, that's true. She wasn't an Israelite. The answer was no. And yet she saw beyond that no, an invitation to believe that apparently for no reason in her or because of her, that Jesus would grant her a yes. Why? Because she believed that Jesus, as God's Son, has come to show mercy. Who is a child of God anyway? In the Old Testament, a child was someone who was begotten of another. Adam and Eve begot Cain. Abraham and Sarah begot Isaac. They were made in their parents' image. It's ontologically correct to call them children, just as it's ontologically correct to call each one of us children of God by nature. He made us, right? But just as Cain was not a child of God when he killed his brother, so can any of us fall from grace and become not children of God when we break His commandments, when we don't do His will, when we don't cling to His word. We show that we are not His child. Childhood is lost. That's where you and I sit this morning. But there's good news in this text. The father of a family might actually appreciate the dog who, though he was not made in his own image and likeness, yet that dog faithfully comes to the table when the children are too busy and despise coming and spending time with the family. That dog, by his humble obedience and trust in the master for crumbs and a little love and some mercy, just may be more of a child of God than the children are. Who are you? Do you come before God with a sense of entitlement? I've done my part. I'm your child, God. You've got to do this for me. Or do you come before God with nothing except hope that God will show mercy to someone who doesn't deserve anything? A true child of God listens past that initial no from the Lord and His law. The law says no, that you're a broken sinner. You don't deserve anything from God. And yet trust that there is a yes, because the same Lord who is holy and just is also merciful to sinners who trust in Him. God is merciful to the ones who come without righteousness and beg for crumbs. Because at that point in their broken life, they remember that crumbs from God's table are more powerful than food of good works or the food of self-sufficiency or the food of anything else that would make us worthy to receive from God. One crumb from God's table is more powerful, just like a little bit of water today, combined with God's word for Madeline, is more powerful than a tsunami on steroids. One little crumb from God can be that powerful. It's like the faith of a mustard seed. Small, but so very, very powerful. Able to move mountains. Able to persistently hear past God's no of the law and trust that there is a yes waiting for us. The yes of healing. The yes of hope. The yes of a resurrection and a restoration and a life and a world to come, all because of the pure mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, in Christ Jesus alone. All because of that, not us, but because of that. Because of His cross, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, and that alone. Because there is mercy in His Son Jesus, do we have any reason to come to His table and receive something good, like a little crumb today. And there we receive life and salvation and heaven and all good things, the forgiveness of sins, life eternal. If we trust in our childhood membership because we're good people or because we were born into the right family, then Jesus would say, you are people of little faith. But when we trust in crumbs from God, and we sometimes even beg for them like animals, then we truly show that we are children of God, the lost sheep of the household of Israel for whom Jesus has come. Jesus looks past the divisions of nationality, past the divisions caused by sin, such that all nations can experience what it means to be a true child of God and to sit at His table and receive food without price. So may we not judge others because of their nationality or because of their former spirituality or lack of it, but see them in the light in which Christ has seen us, as sinners in need of mercy. For only then do we have brothers and sisters, and God our Heavenly Father is pleased to feed us. Only then will we eat together, drink together, and be merry, because God our Father has bread for us. Not mere crumbs, but bread for the hungry. Those who hunger and thirst for His righteousness. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Are you lacking pride and self-righteousness? And have you got a prayer for God's mercy? If so, congratulations. You are a child of God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, the merciful one. Amen.